we appreciate you coming and being with us. If you're a visitor, we hope that you'll take a moment to fill out a card on the pew in front of you, and if you'll just leave that on your seat, we might have a record of your attendance, and we hope that you'll hang around for a few moments after our worship that we might greet you and give you a personal invitation to be back with us. A couple of weeks ago, we studied together from the book of Daniel, and we talked about what the book of Daniel says about God and His holiness. The book of Daniel is a book of visions. If you're reading the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel, you're going to read a very figurative book in certain places. You're going to see visions of beasts coming out of the sea, one that will look like a lion, one that will look like a bear, one that will look like a leopard, one that will be diverse from all of the others. You're going to see visions of rams and he-goats, visions of kings, visions of angels. You're going to read a very figurative book. It's a book of victories. You're going to read about the victory of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah over the fiery furnace. You're going to read of the victory of Daniel over the lion's den, but most importantly, you're going to read about the victory of the kingdom of God, that the God of heaven would establish a kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire that would never be destroyed, a kingdom that would break in pieces and consume all of the kingdoms of the world, a kingdom that would stand forever, a kingdom that would be established by the Son of God, by the Messiah, a kingdom in which we could find salvation and deliverance and hope of fellowship and reconciliation with the God of heaven. We're looking at the book of Daniel from the standpoint of the book of Daniel being for us a book of virtue, a book that teaches us about a characteristic that we should have and possess. And we're talking about the characteristic of holiness. We talked 2 weeks ago about God and holiness. While the term holiness is not found in the book of Daniel, you do find holiness in the book of Daniel because the book is about God. And God is a God of holiness, Exodus 15 and verse 11. There is no one who is glorious in holiness as the God of heaven. And so we talk from the book of Daniel about His position, that He is the sovereign one, the Most High, who rules over the kingdoms of men. We notice from Daniel chapter 5 what happens when you profane or take lightly or make common the holiness of God. When you take what belongs to God, the glory and the adoration that He is due because of His position, and you give it to someone or something else, such as gold, silver, brass, stone, or wood, then God's going to come in judgment. If you don't recognize His position and humbly submit to Him, then one day God will bring judgment against you for profaning His holiness. We talked about from Daniel chapter 9 what God possesses in His holiness. He is the possessor of mercies and forgiveness. We talked about from the book of Daniel His plan to extend His mercy and His forgiveness to humanity through both Christ, His Son, the Messiah, and His church. But today I want to go back to the book of Daniel and focus on not God in the book of Daniel, but focus on Daniel in the book of Daniel. While the book of Daniel is not really an autobiography of the life of Daniel, it does record several things about Daniel and about his life that will teach us about our ability and the possibility of us being and living a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, and a life of purity before the God of heaven. But before we dive into the book of Daniel, let's just think about personal holiness for a moment. God commands that we as His people live up to a standard of holiness, to a standard of righteousness. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so here is the commandment from our holy God who sits upon the throne of His holiness, and His command is for us to be holy as He is holy. That's repeated three times in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, chapter 19 and verse 2, chapter 20 and verse 7. And so the command from our Father in heaven who is holy is for us to be holy, to live a life of purity, to live a life of righteousness. And it's an all-encompassing holiness. He says, "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation." It's not a holiness in one part of life and an unholiness in another part of life. We're commanded to a life of complete holiness, a life of complete purity, a life where we're trying to be holy in every area and every aspect of our life. Paul would command similar from the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He said, "Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You see, that's the standard to which we've been called. We've been called to a standard of holy living. But also there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, not only do we have from the pen of Peter, from the mind of God, the command to be holy, we also have the comparison of holiness. Peter says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He's writing the words of God. "Be ye holy because God is holy." And sometimes we think that we are holy. We think that we have achieved a level of righteousness because we compare ourselves to the wrong standard. We begin looking around horizontally, and compared to other people in the world, we perceive ourselves to be holy or to be righteous. But Peter reminds us that other people are not the standard of holiness. We are to be holy because God is holy. And so the comparison is not with other people when it comes to holiness. The comparison is with our God who is holy. The one who sits on the throne of holiness. The ones whose declarations are declarations of holiness. The one who is glorious in holiness. Our comparison is to Him. And when we compare our holiness to the holiness of God, we recognize and realize immediately our need to learn more and to grow and to mature and to develop more our life of holiness. Because His holiness is immense. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter would say that we have Christ as our example, that we should walk in His steps. And then verse 22 talks about the holy, righteous life of Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And so when we begin to compare our life with the life of Jesus Christ, we see our need to grow and to mature in the area of holiness. Consider a third thing about personal holiness, and that's the conclusion of it. That's the end of it. That's the goal, where personal holiness leads. Hebrews writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, here's the conclusion of holiness. If we want to see the God of holiness, if we want to be able to dwell in His presence, to hear Him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, to allow us to enter into the eternal kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world, it demands a life of holiness. Because without it, we will never be able to see the Lord. So let's study then the life of Daniel and what Daniel teaches us about personal holiness that will allow us to feel this command to be holy because our God is holy, that will allow us one day to stand in His presence and to enjoy eternity with Him. When you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel lived a life of holiness. He lived a life of righteousness. He lived a life of purity that pleased the God of heaven. When King Darius spoke of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20, he knew Daniel as the servant of the living God, whom thou servest continually. Here was the king of the nation of Persia. And when he looked at the life of Daniel, who was one of his presidents, he saw in the life of Daniel one who was committed to and faithful to the God of heaven. He could look at the way Daniel lived and he knew immediately Daniel belongs to the God of heaven. He belongs to the true and living God, and he serves Him continually. He is always concerned about his relationship with God and making sure that his life is holy and righteous before Him. You have a couple of statements in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, and Daniel chapter 10 and verse 11, where angels are speaking to Daniel, and their statements about him concerning his holiness and his position before the God of heaven. Daniel 9 and verse 23, it is the angel Gabriel who says of Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. And then Daniel chapter 10 and verse 11, the same thought is repeated, thou art a man greatly beloved. And so when it comes to God's relationship with Daniel, Daniel was one who was greatly beloved by the God of heaven because he was one who was His faithful servant continually. So what can we learn from the life of Daniel that will help us to be faithful servants of God, that will help us to live a life of holiness, whereby we can be greatly beloved by the God of heaven? Incidentally, Ezekiel, chapter 14 and verse 20, Ezekiel mentions the life of Daniel, and he lists him as one whose life was righteous and holy and pure. And so what does Daniel teach us? Number one, Daniel teaches us the possibility of holiness. When you consider the life of Daniel and you look at the events that occurred in his life that are recorded in this book, you find that Daniel is teaching us that a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life of purity is possible. It's possible for us to live the life to which we are called in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Sometimes it seems as if people say, it's impossible for us to live up to that standard. It's impossible for us to be holy. You just don't understand the world in which we live. You just don't understand the situations and the circumstances in which we find ourselves in this world, at work and at school. And in those situations, it's just impossible to live a life of purity, a life of holiness, and a life of righteousness. But when you consider the life of Daniel, And you think about the world in which he lived. You consider the situations and the circumstances in which Daniel found himself. Daniel demonstrates to us the possibility of holiness. He was able to serve God faithfully. He was able to live righteously. He was able to live holy. And his example is to us a demonstration of the possibility of holiness. Three ways Daniel's life demonstrates the possibility of holiness. Daniel's life demonstrates that holiness is possible through the various periods of life. It doesn't matter where we are on the age spectrum of life, holiness is possible for us. We can maintain a life of righteousness and a life of purity. You have in the book of Daniel, Daniel in his youth, in his teenage years, and you have in the book of Daniel, Daniel in his aged years, Daniel in the latter years of his life. And in both areas, Daniel is going to demonstrate for us the possibility of living a life of holiness and a life of purity. Consider Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 records Daniel in his youth, in his teenage years, when Babylon comes and they conquer Jerusalem and they carry away these youths out of the nation of Judah and they carry them away into Babylonian captivity. Daniel was one of those youth. He was one of those teenagers, taken from his family, taken from his home, carried off into a foreign land. In his youth, he was put into training, into the schools of the Babylonians, where he would be taught and where he would be trained in the ways of Babylon. And in that school, they wanted to give him the king's wine and the king's meat. Daniel 1 and verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, not with the portion of the king's wine nor with the king's meat. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And so what you have here is Daniel in his youth, in a difficult situation, in the midst of training by the Babylonians in their school system. And Daniel saying, I'm going to maintain my purity. I don't want the king's wine. I don't want his meat. In fact, give me pulse. Give me vegetables and water, because he did not want to defile himself with those things that were connected with idolatry. Even in his youth, he's able to maintain his holiness, his life of righteousness. Fast forward to Daniel chapter 6. You've gone from Daniel in his youth in the kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and you've come all the way to the reign of Persia under Darius. And you've moved down in time until Daniel is in the latter years of his life. He's nearing the end of his life. Probably by Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is in his 80s when those events transpired, when he is caught praying, thrown into the lion's den. God delivers him with his angel. But in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel has been exalted to the top of three presidents over the kingdom of Persia. The other presidents and princes, the other governors, are jealous of Daniel. They do not like Daniel because Daniel is a foreigner who has been exalted to a position above them. And so they begin to look for areas in which they can accuse Daniel, areas in which they could find Daniel violating the law, where they could get him removed. Daniel 6 and verse 4 says they investigated his life. They looked at his life with scrutiny, but they could find no reason to accuse him. They could find nothing amiss in his life. Daniel demonstrates holiness in his youth. Daniel demonstrates holiness in his aged years. No matter where we are on the spectrum of life, God has called us to a life of holiness, and Daniel demonstrates it's possible for us to achieve it. You see, there's no area, there's no age in life where we are exempt from God's command and God's call to a life of holiness. Number two, Daniel shows us that holiness is possible not just through the various periods of life, but Daniel shows us that holiness is possible through the various positions of life. When you look at Daniel's life, he shows that holiness is possible in the lowly parts, in the lowly positions of life, but holiness is also possible in the exalted positions of life, in the positions of rank and power and authority. Because when Daniel was taken from his homeland, he was just a lowly youth from Babylon. He was just one of the many young people who were taken. But it was in that lowly position that he maintained a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. But fast forward to Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel, when he is able to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the interpretation of it, Daniel is made chief governor over all of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel chapter 6, he's made the top president, the one right under Darius, the king of Persia. But even in those exalted positions, Daniel was interested in and maintained a life of purity and a life of holiness. It doesn't matter if no one on the earth knows us. It doesn't matter if everyone on the earth knows us. We can maintain a life of holiness. And God demands that of us. Even if we are in a position of rank and power, a position of authority in the workplace, we can't say, well, because of my position, I just can't be holy. They expect too much of me. No, God expects us to be holy, and Daniel demonstrates that it can be done. Number three, Daniel demonstrates the possibility of holiness through the various problems of life. Daniel was holy when life was easy in the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel was holy when life was easy during the kingdom of Persia, but Daniel lived a life of holiness and a life of righteousness even when that holiness, that righteousness could have cost him his life. When he knew the penalty for praying to the God of heaven was being cast into a den of lions, Daniel maintained his holiness. He maintained a life of righteousness. He continued to be faithful in his service to the God of heaven. Daniel chapter 6, he went home as his custom was. He opened his windows and he prayed to God toward the city of Jerusalem. He demonstrates to us that it's possible to be holy no matter what problem, no matter what difficulty we're facing in life, that we can live a life of righteousness. Daniel demonstrates to us the possibility of holiness. Second thing that you see from the life of Daniel when it comes to personal holiness is the prerequisite of holiness. Go to Daniel chapter 1 and consider together with me Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Because when you look at the life of Daniel, Daniel shows us what is required first before we can have actions and lives and deeds that are holy and righteous before God. Here's the prerequisite. Here's what comes first. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And there we have recorded in the book of Daniel the prerequisite to a holy life. Before our life can be holy, before our actions and our deeds can be holy, there must be a holiness of heart. See, where it began in the life of Daniel was it began in his mind. It began with a purpose of heart. As he was taken away from Judah and carried off into Babylonian captivity, his heart was, his mind was set on serving the God of heaven. His mind was set on knowing God, on learning God, on pleasing God, not defiling the God of heaven, but living a life whereby God would be honored, God would be glorified, and God would be exalted. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Notice the second time that the heart of Daniel is mentioned in this great book. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. This is when the angel is speaking to Daniel. Then said he that is the angel unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You see, Daniel's heart was one that was set on not defiling himself, but it was also a heart that was set on chastening or disciplining himself before the God of heaven. He wanted to make sure that his life was a life of holiness, his life was a life of purity, that his life was a life of righteousness whereby God would be honored, whereby God would be exalted, whereby he would not defile himself before the God of heaven. And so Daniel was able to live a righteous life because his heart was right, because his heart was pure. Remember what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's one thing to have the outward appearance of righteousness. It's possible to go through the motions and to do the right things when people are watching so that we appear righteous before men. It's possible to appear holy. But Daniel did not want to appear holy. Daniel wanted to be holy. And God's not interested in an outward holiness. God's interested in an inward holiness. God's interested in a holy heart that will direct and dictate a holy life. So you find from the life of Daniel the prerequisite of holiness. Daniel was able to live a holy life because his heart was holy. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. If there is within an individual a heart of corruption, a heart of sin, then that heart is going to eventually be shown in the lifestyle. But if you want to have a holy life, a righteous life, then there has to be within us a heart of holiness, a heart of purity. We have to think on things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are just and of good report, Philippians 4 and verse 8, that we might produce those things in our life. You see, the prerequisite of holy living begins in the heart. It begins with a holy mind, a mind set on pleasing God, on knowing Him, loving Him, and serving Him. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. The third thing that stands out in the book of Daniel about his life of holiness, not only does Daniel teach us that it's possible for us to be holy, he teaches us about the prerequisite of holiness, having a holy heart, but he also shows us the posture of holiness. He shows us the posture of holiness. That is, if we're going to live a holy life, it requires a posture of reading the Scripture and a posture of prayer. Not posture in the sense that we have to sit or stand a certain way to read the Word of God, or that we have to sit or stand a certain way to pray to God, but posture in the sense is this is going to be characteristic of our lifestyle, that this would be our normal posture before God, to receive communication from His Word and then to reciprocate that communication to Him through a lifestyle of prayer. So notice here in Daniel chapter 9, let's begin reading at verse 1, and notice the life of Daniel, his posture, a posture of reading the Word of God and praying to the God of heaven. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The first thing that stands out in verse 2 is Daniel's posture of searching the Scriptures. He understood by reading the book of Jeremiah that the desolation, the destruction of Jerusalem, the captivity would last for 70 years. And so here is Daniel as he's reading and studying the Scriptures. But as he's reading the book of Jeremiah, Daniel understands that those aren't just the words of Jeremiah. Those are the words of the Lord that the Lord gave to Jeremiah, that Jeremiah, the servant of the Lord, has recorded. And so he recognizes that Scripture is from God, that it is inspired of God, that it's God-breathed. And so when he's reading the prophet Jeremiah, he's really reading the words of God. And he's studying them, and he's searching them, and he's taking them in because he's learning about the God of holiness that he's trying to please, that he's trying to serve. A holy life requires of us a similar posture, that we would be people like Daniel who open the Scripture, who realize that this is the Word of God, and who search it, who study it, who take it in. As Paul instructed Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to reading." You give your focus to intaking the Word of God. You read those Scriptures. You read what God has revealed, and you take it in, and you contemplate it. You meditate upon it. You continue in them. You think about them. So he would tell Timothy in his second epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Why is it important, if we're going to live a life of holiness, that we be people who receive communication from God through His Word? The answer is given in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Because it is the Word of God that purifies our souls when we learn it and obey it. "Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." But it's our obedience to the truth, our obedience to the Word of God, whereby our heart is purified, our life is purified, whereby we're able to live a holy life. And so you see in Daniel a posture of reading. Then in verse 3, you see in Daniel a posture of prayer. He says, "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." You find Daniel regularly in the book of Daniel in prayer. In fact, Daniel chapter 6 talks about his custom being to pray 3 times a day toward the city of Jerusalem. He was one who was not only interested in receiving communication from the God of heaven, but one who was willing to communicate, open his heart to speak to, and to reveal to the God of heaven what he was thinking about. And so you have that prayer recorded here in Daniel chapter 9, and you can read as Daniel opens his heart and he begins to talk about the sin of his people, and he's pleading with God for His mercy and for His forgiveness. We're going to be people of holiness, people whose life is righteous and pure, then we must be people of prayer, people who are willing to open our hearts and to communicate with the God of heaven. Paul would tell the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we are to pray without ceasing. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," verse 18. He would tell the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 2 that we are to continue in prayer. A life of holiness requires me taking in the Word of God, examining my life by it, and then me approaching the God of heaven in prayer and speaking to Him, sometimes in confession, sometimes saying, "Here is where my life doesn't line up with Your Word. Please forgive me. Allow me to grow and to mature," sometimes in expressions of thanksgiving, giving Him praise and honor for all that He's done for us. Number 4, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. The last thing that we learn from Daniel when it comes to personal holiness, we've seen from Daniel that it's possible for us to live a life of purity, a life of righteousness. We learn from him what's required first, that we have a holy heart that will dictate and direct a holy life. We've learned from him the correct posture, that we would be recipients of the Word of God, take it in, and that we would approach God in prayer. And finally, we learn from Daniel the praise of holiness. You learn from Daniel that a life of holiness is not about ourselves, but it's about God. A life of holiness is about praising and exalting the God of holiness. Notice here in Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 27. The context of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream that he cannot remember. It's a dream that's been bothering him. He wants to know the dream and the interpretation. He's called for all of the wise men of Babylon that they would come in, that they would make known to him the dream and give the interpretation. The wise men of Babylon said, that's an impossible task. We can't do it. And so Nebuchadnezzar is ready to destroy all of his wise men. That news comes to Daniel, and so he asks for an opportunity to go before the king. Daniel is able to reveal the dream and its interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar. But notice who Daniel gives the praise to. Notice who Daniel gives the glory to in Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 27. Because Daniel very easily could have said, yes, I am able to tell you this dream, and I am able to give you the interpretation, and if you will exalt me in your kingdom and you'll make me second in command, then I'll share that information with you. But Daniel wasn't interested in exalting himself because Daniel's interested in living a life of holiness, and a life of holiness is designed to exalt the God of heaven. So Daniel answered in the presence of the king, verse 27, and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Daniel could have exalted himself. Daniel could have taken the credit for being able to reveal the dream, but instead his life was interested in praising and exalting the God of heaven. Go to Daniel chapter 6 and notice a second instance in the life of Daniel where he's interested in lifting up and exalting the God of holiness, who is the Most High. Daniel chapter 6, the context, Daniel has been taken, thrown into the lion's den because he's violated the king's command. He's prayed to the God of heaven when the law of the land was to pray to the king only for 30 days. The other princes, presidents caught him. They've brought him to the king Darius. Darius says, this is the law. Even though he didn't want to throw Daniel into the lion's den, he did. And so the king paces all night. He's not able to sleep. He doesn't even have his nightly entertainment. He doesn't eat. Verse 18, he arises early in the morning, verse 19, and he makes haste. He runs to the den of lions to see what has happened. Let's begin reading at verse 20. "When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." Now notice what Daniel says in verse 22. "My God hath sent his angel, and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me." Daniel could have said, yep, I was in here, defeated all those lions, no problem. But that's not what he did. Daniel said, my God in heaven, he sent his angel, and my God brought deliverance. You see, a life of holiness is, in one sense, about avoiding sinful living. It's about avoiding that which is against the will of God. It's about avoiding that which is violation of His nature and His character. And that's required in holy living. But holy living is not just about not doing wrong. Holy living is about praising and exalting the God of heaven. Holy living is about showing forth the praises of His glory. Holy living is about 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, that we are priests of God, and our responsibility is to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's about exalting Him. It's about being to the praise of His glory, Ephesians 1 and verse 12. Holy living is about doing what Daniel did and saying, there is a God in heaven who is most high and most glorious, and I'm going to live a life of purity and a life of holiness because I want to direct people to the God of holiness who has mercy and forgiveness available through His Son and His church. Daniel was a great man of holiness, a great man of righteousness. Let's allow Daniel's life to motivate us and to move us to holy living. That we can be holy before the God of heaven. That God would say of us, "You are my servant. You serve me continually. You are a man, a woman, greatly beloved." Let's let our lives be lives of holiness, that God may be honored, that God may be exalted. Maybe it is that you're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daniel 9 and verse 24 and following talks about how God was going to send Christ, His Son, that He might be cut off, not for Himself, but for the people, that He might make an end of sin, that He might make an end of iniquity, that He might open up a way of reconciliation. Jesus Christ came. He walked the road to Calvary. He was crucified. His blood was shed. We could have the forgiveness of our sins. He was raised up from the tomb. He sits now at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's there to extend to you mercy and pardon and forgiveness if you're willing to obey Him. This morning, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to turn from a lifestyle of sin and repentance, if you're willing to confess your faith that He is the Son of the living God, then we will baptize you into Christ according to His commandment, that your sins might be forgiven. Maybe it is that you are a child of God, but you haven't been living up to the standard of holiness to which we're called. We have a God in heaven who is merciful and forgiving, who will wash your sins away by the blood of His Son if you're willing to turn from them, to confess those things. Let's learn from Daniel, and let's be righteous people, and let's glorify our God together. If you're in need of responding to the invitation, won't you come? Together we stand and as we sing.